Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Sisters and brothers, Jesus' teaching in this part of Matthew seems sort of counterintuitive to us. That wouldn't be the first time that the Lord's teaching strikes us flawed persons that way. But what I mean is this, that in the second half of the Olivet Discourse in Matthew, Jesus tells his disciples, and so therefore also us, seven times, no less than seven times, he says, you won't know when he will return in glory. And he really means it. You won't be able to read any signs. You won't be able to predict it. He might come back sooner than you think. He might come back later than you think. So watch. But here's the counterintuitive part. We might expect Jesus to say, well, there's no way you can know, so don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. Just keep busy being my disciples, since you can't know anyway. But that's not what he says. Five times in this second half of the Olivet Discourse in Matthew, Jesus says, watch, stay awake, keep on the alert, precisely because you don't know when he will return. And he means it. If you have not been actively watching for Jesus' return, I have it on good authority, all authority in heaven and earth, that you must start watching actively. Start expecting it. Start longing. Start pondering. Start staying alert. Perhaps you have been watching, and perhaps you've grown weary in watching. I say to you, take it up again. Watch for his coming. And now I give you two reasons why you should and how you can. First, watch for Jesus' return in glory because of where you are. Like me, you are here. This is definitely a false impression because this place looks like it's all together. But you are here in the midst of brokenness and incompleteness. Yes, there's beauty. Yes, there's gifts. Yes, Christ sustains our life now. Of course he does. But there's still so much that is wrong right here where we are. Right here we have lies and insults and half-truth and deliberate character assassination, even in the church. And you've committed it. And so have I. Here we have sickness and death, and one believer is healed, but another believer dies too young, and hopes are dashed, and the grief comes in waves in the night. And worst of all, because it's the greatest commandment of all, worst of all, here our love can grow cold. Our love for one another grows cold. And it's been this way so long that you get used to it, and there's the danger. You get used to it. You get used to sin. I begin to accept the brokenness as normal. True story, long ago a young farmer invited a young pastor and his family into a pig barn to witness piglets being born. It was really quite interesting and fun. But what I remember most vividly was when he opened the door to the barn and we tried to go in, the smell. It was like a physical assault. It was like a physical barrier. And I couldn't go in, and the farmer noticed. And he said, well, you seem a little reluctant. And he said, don't worry, you'll get used to the smell. And he was right, I did, and it was all right. but it's not all right. When I get used to the smell where we are. But if you go down deep with friends, and if you go down deep into the lives of fellow Christians, and if I care about even my enemies and seek to love them as God loves them, then along with the forgiveness and the peace and the joy by which we all live, yes, along with that I gain a godly fear and a deep sorrow and a longing. How long, O Lord? So I say to you, watch for his coming because of where you are in a broken, unfair, sinful world. And it's God's world, and it shouldn't smell like this. And if you haven't been watching, or you don't think you should, I have it on good authority that you are wrong, and you should repent and begin to watch. Because of where we are. And here's the second reason, the why, and really the most important reason to how you and I can watch, not just because of where we are, but because of who he is, because of who Jesus is. The Jesus who will come again in glory to this world came already to a broken world, and he brought the beginning of hope everywhere he went. Sorrow was driven back. Death was relieved, sin pushed away, sin forgiven over and over. The Jesus who will return in glory as judge and king is the Jesus who redefined glory and kingship when once he came in blessing, all our sins redressing. He came in likeness lowly, Son of God, most holy. He died and rose to save us. Hope and freedom gave us. And you don't know when, so don't you want to watch? A week ago, I landed at Lambert Airport, and as I exited the security area, people were waiting to greet loved ones, and of course the looks on their faces were varied, but there was an older couple, well actually no, they were about my age, oh wait, that's what I said, they were an older couple, and I saw them spot behind me, I didn't turn around, I saw them spot the person for whom they were waiting, and that was a happy sight. Now take that change, take those faces and multiply it a gozillion times. And mix it with wonder and godly fear and something that you would probably call terror, except it makes you happy. And now imagine looking around as where we are and who we are is transformed into where we will be and who we will be forever. That's who's coming. Jesus is coming. Long expected Jesus. We stand and sing to long expected Jesus.